The future is now. The Time Traveler's Remix. Written by Smile Backwards. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Inception Potfic rated for general audiences, featuring the relationships Arthur Eames and Dom Cobb Mal. It is tagged for Alternate Universe Future Time Travel Remix. Summary. Where Eames is from? If you're born in the wrong century, you can do something about it. Eames meets Mal at the Dream Academy in Certilo. Mal is from New Marseille, and when she dreams, it is of Paris before the Atma War, the Eiffel Tower atal iron spike in the sky, the Champs Elysees solid beneath her high heels. She is the only one Eames ever shows his London, where Big Ben keeps Greenwich Mean Time and Tower Bridge is still trimmed in blue. They walk through St. George Chapel, and Mal stands on a flagstone, waiting for King George VII's name, and says, "Let's do something about it, like a dare." It takes Eames 2 weeks to plan a raid on the Time office. There's a legal process, of course, but it involves filling out innumerable forms and being fitted with a chrono tracker that's rumored to cause a discreet aneurysm if you break a paradox rule. The day before the planned break-in, Eames loses all communication with Mal. Her virtual ID disappears from the net, and he tries all three of her comlinks without success. He's headed towards a full-fledged panic. Sarah and the temporal police have taken her, when there's a tapping on his balcony window. The delivery drone flies off as Eames steps outside and bends down to scoop up the package. It is wrapped in plain brown paper and has stamps over almost every inch of it, dating back centuries. Eames has a terrible suspicion as he tears it open. There's a time watch inside, and a postcard with the Eiffel Tower on the front. While Eames spent 2 weeks casing the office, Mal, it seems, spent 2 weeks packing and then 20 minutes flirting with a clerk. "Hurry up," Mal's appalling penmanship reads. The watch hands are already set. May 21st, 2091, 2:19 a.m. Eames grabs his go bag and presses the trigger button. Mal is waiting for him on a bridge over dark water. She kisses Eames's cheek and shoves a coat at him. It looks antique, but the fabric is bright and new. "Put this on, you look ridiculous," she says. "And you look lovely, darling," Eames returns, shrugging out of his too vivid tunic. Everything around him feels strangely muted, pale stone in place of shining glass. Mal is elegant in linen and pearls. Eames glances at her pregnant belly, the sparkle of Cubanite on her finger, and raises an eyebrow. "I've sorted everything out," Mal says, taking his arm and guiding him through the winding cobblestone streets, past a spec door with B-400 freighters he's only ever seen in museums, and underneath the Eiffel Tower, lit with gold. "Dominic Cobb?" Eames hisses after Mal leads him into a walk up and introduces him to a squinty-eyed blonde man Eames remembers from his cognitive history textbook. "Mm-hmm," Mal hums agreeably, setting a non-hybrid orange in front of him. The door opens again, and the man with dark hair and slim hips sets down a silver briefcase and hangs his coat on the rack. "Who's that?" Eames asks, breathless. Oh, Mal says, with faint casualness. That is Arthur. Eames once wrote a paper on Arthur Kessler. It was extremely short. The only thing any of the source materials could agree on was that he was one of the few original test subjects to survive the government's shoddily designed Dreamshare trials, and afterwards, he had disappeared into the criminal underground. It wouldn't have been enough to fascinate Eames without the picture. There were dozens of pictures of the trial laboratories, suspect marks, and crime scenes, but only one picture of Arthur himself. Young and dark-haired, sitting in a portside cafe with a cup of coffee and a tablet, and smiling at the photographer in a way that made Eames wonder if he loved them, or would, someday. Eames felt an odd tug on his heart. He feels it again when Mal introduces him to Arthur in her moonlit kitchen. Arthur is our point man. Arthur, Eames will be forging Lady Ami for us. Arthur narrows his eyes. Forging? Mal and Eames share a swift, oh shit, have we invented Dreamforge? Look. Let me show you, Eames says. Have you got a picture of her? The PASYB is a horrible mess of tubing and needles, and Eames can't believe he's willingly letting somnosine, which studies have proven to be essentially slow-acting poison, to be pumped into his veins. But he thinks he would do anything for Arthur not to look at him with impatient disdain. Mal drops them into Madrid in the shadow of the Weeping Monument. Eames knows enough history to know it won't be built for 60 years yet. This is why Dom is the architect, Arthur says, shaking his head as he looks at the dripping stone. All right, show me. Lady Ami is tall and willowy, with small pink lips and heartbreaking brown eyes. Eames sets her hair in a swept updo, a few trendiels creeping out to fall around her heart-shaped face. Like what you see? Eames asks, bringing a cigarette to her lips. He'll have to get close to her in person to get the movement right and hear the tenor of her voice. Arthur stares. That's extremely useful. Eames fades back into himself so he can give Arthur his own smile. Arthur smiles back. The job goes off without a hitch. Mal was always top of their class when it came to extraction. Eames forges Lady Ami and sits quietly on a stone bench in a winter garden while the Mark stares at him with broken eyes and gives all his secrets like a confession. Arthur only has to shoot 3 projections. Eames watches him fire a vintage RX plasma gun with perfect precision, feeling a terrible swell of admiration. The take is enough for Eames to start his new life, but what Eames wants isn't an apartment or transport or even London. Arthur is sitting in Eames' new favorite cafe, where he goes to play holocards and drink low-end whiskey. Sipping coffee and reading The Time Machine, Eames feels a sudden sense of vertigo, time alignment, or deja vu. Do you ever wonder if that's not going on right around us? Time travel and whatnot? He asks, sitting down across from Arthur. You think we're surrounded by time travelers? Arthur says wryly, setting H.G. Wells aside. Eames pulls out his camera phone. He knows this backdrop, the smile on Arthur's face and in his eyes. "Of course not, darling," Eames says, clicking the shutter. "That would be ridiculous." This has been recorded for ITPE as a gift for Nanny. I hope you've enjoyed, thank you for listening, and please remember to drink some water today.